Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you have your Bibles today, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I want to read the first two verses. Matthew 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. We read here of a leper. A leper is one who has a disease which is pervasive. It will affect the whole body. It affects the inside as well as the outside. This defilement is such that it will defile anything that it comes into contact with. This is physically what leprosy does. What does the scripture tell us leprosy is as it concerns God? Leviticus 13:3 says, And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. Leprosy is uncleanness before God. Anything that a leper touches will be unclean. What were those who had the plague of leprosy to do? It says in Leviticus 13, 45 and 46, it says, And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, Unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp shall be his habitation be. God commands us to put a difference between unclean and clean. Leviticus 10:10 says, And that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. Yet thousands today do not put a difference between clean and unclean. We by nature do not do this. We are all unclean. What does the prophet tell us in Isaiah 6:5? Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Compared to the thrice holy God, all we are is unclean. Isaiah 1, 5 and 6 says, Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. There is no doubt that man, as he is born in, is unclean before God in our flesh. We cannot and will not see the difference between our uncleanness and God's utter cleanness. Now we read here of an unclean man coming to the Lord of glory. Two things I want to point out. Why would such a one come around anyone? What would be the response of this one he came to? So why would such a one come around anyone, let alone Christ? First of all, according to law, this man should be out by himself somewhere. This man was not supposed to be around anyone. And if he was around anyone, he was to shout, unclean, unclean, Leviticus 13:45. He was to let everyone around him know he was unclean and unfit to be around anyone. This is not what we see in this world. This man is an example of all those who come to Christ. All those who come to Christ do so because they know they are unclean and know they will defile everything they touch. If you do not see yourself this way, then you have not come to Christ. Scripture tells us that they that are whole need not a physician in Matthew 9:12. What does it say when he comes? It says he worshiped him. But that is not all it says. It says he worshiped him saying. This world tells us that we should feel good about ourselves. It tells us we need to make sure we have a good self-esteem. Pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Heal yourself. But here's what those who truly worship Christ say in worshiping Christ. They first say, Lord, that is Master, that one which owns me. What else does this man say? Lord, I've made my decision for you. I've cleaned myself up and I present you myself before you clean. I've done all this of my own free will because I wanted to be clean before you. Many of this world do say those things or think those things. But when Scripture speaks of someone coming to Christ, we never read of such things being said of those seeking salvation. Here is true worship of the Lord of glory. He says first, if thou wilt. He is bowing himself before that one whom he knows owns him and confesses before him that his salvation is all up to the Lord's will. That is God's choice and not his. There is no boasting of what he does or has done or will do. He knows he is unclean. He knows that he defiles everything he touches. He goes on to say, thou, that is, Christ, can make him clean. This unclean sinner knows that this one, that is Jesus Christ, is the only one who can do this. He is the only one who can make him clean, make me clean, and make you clean. He has the power to do all these things. The question is he willing? Not everyone knows they are unclean. There are those who think their righteousnesses, that is, those things which they have done with their own hands, make them clean before an absolute righteous, holy, and just God. Scripture speaks of those who will profess their wonderful works before Jesus Christ in Matthew 7:22. They say, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. If this is what you say to God, then you are saying you work iniquity. Scripture tells us even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. This is also confirmed in the next verse of Matthew 7. It says, then will I, and the English word here is profess. The word means to consent. That is, if you say this to God, Christ will be in agreement with you that you work iniquity. When you talk about what you have done by the work of your own hands, you are confirming to Christ that you work iniquity, and he agrees with you. You do this because he never knew you. You can know all about God, but if he does not know you, then you are only left with your works. And they will condemn you before God because they are filthy rags in his sight. No matter what kind of work it is, it can be what I am doing right now. If you think what you are doing gains you favor in God's sight, if this is so, mark it down. It is filthy rags in his sight. We need someone who can make us clean. He is the only one who can do that, but only if he is willing. The one thing God gives to us that shows how unclean we are is his law. The law does not make us unclean. We are born this way before God. God's law is like an X-ray. It does not either cause you to be unclean, and it cannot fix your uncleanness. It just reveals that there is uncleanness there. You being dead in trespasses and in sin cannot even see what the law says. God must give you life before you can know that you are dead in your flesh. There is only one that can create life, and that is God. Ezekiel 16:6 says, "And when I passed by thee, I saw and saw thee polluted in thine own blood. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." So it is God who gives life to those he is pleased to give life. When he does this, he will also use his law as that person's schoolmaster. Galatians 3:22-24 says, "But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Those for whom God loves will be brought to a place where his law comes up before them, and it will condemn them before God. Them knowing they are already unclean and cannot fulfill his law. They need someone that can heal them of their uncleanness. Those who look to work with their own hands, and that includes making a decision for Jesus. But those who look to obeying the law of commandments for righteousness before God will never find the righteousness of God. Scripture says in Romans 3 and verse 20, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." The law was only given for one reason, that is, to expose sin. Galatians 3:21 says, "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law." Life, that is righteousness before God, will not be known by the works of the law. You will only find that if Christ reveals himself to you, causing you to run to him for cleansing. The problem we have is uncleanness before God, being born that way before him. There is not a problem with God's law. The problem is with man. Being dead before God and polluted in your own blood. But no one will see this unless God has done something for them and God does something to them. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and he did this by his death on that tree, taking my place. My substitute taking the wrath of God in my place, and thereby cleansing me judicially in the sight of God. Then in time, giving me life so that I might then be able to see how dead my flesh is, by using his schoolmaster until that time in which he sends me the gospel, saving my soul and cleansing me in time so that I can then bow down to him in worship and praise. Romans 7:13 says, "Was then that which is good made death unto me?" God forbid. "But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful." God will bring you to that place that you have no other way to turn. No one else can help you but him. This is that time when God gives those of his the spirit of bondage to fear. Romans 8:15 says, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God, by his law, calls us to fear destruction and damnation from him. There will be no place to turn to for help, because you will find yourself guilty and totally unclean before him. Those for whom God does not do this will continue to do as those Paul spoke about in Romans. In Romans 10, verses 3, we read, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. This is not so with those whom he has loved with an everlasting love. He will in time woo them unto himself. This he does by bringing them down to nothing, having nowhere to turn by his law, no place of help but him. He will then send them his gospel, and when they hear of him, they will come to him worshiping and saying, 'Lord, if thou wilt, it is all up to you to show me mercy. Thou canst make me clean.' So what is the response to such a one as this man who came to Christ? This man came to Christ, and he was a leper. He was because it says he was a leper. Instead of crying out, 'Unclean, unclean,' the man asked Jesus Christ to come unto him. He kneeled down to him, that is, the leper, bowed down to Jesus Christ. He does not demand of Jesus Christ anything. Those who know themselves to be unclean do not come to Christ demanding anything. They acknowledge, just as this leper did, that the power is all with him. That is, Jesus Christ has all the power to do what he is asking him to do. He knows Jesus Christ has the power to do anything he wants to do. He specifically tells Christ he knows that he could heal him. He has no doubt of his power to do this. The only question is, does he will to do so? Scripture tells us who God saves. Psalms 34:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." This God gives to those who are his when he is pleased to reveal his Son in them. They will run to Jesus Christ. But this great merciful God will save all those who be of a contrite spirit. Contrite in Scripture means to be crushed or destroyed. If you have your own righteousness, then God is not near you and is not saving such as you are. He came to save sinners. This man, knowing this, came to Jesus Christ, knowing Christ had the power to do so, but also knowing it was up to God's will to do so. All he could do now is wait on God. Will he reach out to me? It says here in verse 3, he put forth. When Jesus Christ hears one of his cry out to him, he will reach out to them, because it is he that calls them to cry out for him. He knew this leper would come to him. Jeremiah 31:18 reads, "I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, 'Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. As a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord, my God.'" It says he put forth his hand. First of all, let's make a note. The word will tell you that God has no hands but your hands, and God has no feet but your feet. But this man, our Lord, that is God himself, first of all, in the passage, we see that he walked down off of the mountain with his own feet. So there is one lie by men manifested to be a lie by Scripture. Then we read here, he stretched forth his hand. So there you have a second lie by men manifested by Scripture. God has his own hands and feet. And we can see here he extends or stretches forth his hand. And it is in the sense of having power. What does he do? He touches a defiled man, a leper. Then he tells us why he touches this leper. He says, I will. It is the will of God to do what he is about to tell this man, just by stretching forth his hand and speaking. This is said in the positive. I will to do that for which you need done. He was not willing for everyone else that was around to be cleansed. There were no others at this time coming to him in such a way. No one else was sick. They had no need of the great physician, only this one man who asked of him and bowed down to worship him. No one else knew they had any need of being healed. In this account we are reading here, it was only this man that we read about that knew he was unclean. He came to the one who he knew had the power to do it. He just did not know if he was willing to do it. But then he hears Christ say, I will, be thou clean. When God says something, it is so. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed, it says. Christ touches man, a defiled man, and yet he himself is not defiled. And touches God and is not consumed. Your hands and your feet cannot do this. For those who are such as this man, Jesus Christ will reach out to them, touching them by his Spirit and speaking to them by his gospel. They will hear these words, which will joy the soul and turn fear to love. Love for him and love for his people. They will hear, I will, be thou clean. Oh, the weight that is lifted from the shoulders. Having the light burden of his yoke placed upon them so that they might serve him who is their God, their Lord, their Master, their friend, their Savior. To be cleansed by our Lord, that Lord who is our peace. In him, God is at peace with us. Him dying the sinner's death on that tree. He is our peace, having made peace with the almighty consuming fire, which is God. In time, him coming and cleansing the unclean, causing them to have peace with God. They lay down their arms against him, no longer having the wrath that hatred toward him. But they have peace with God through their Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, what a place to rest in. Let it not be that this great God allows me to say, I will do something. But may it be that he causes me to come to him and say, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. This mighty God who purposed to save sinners causes those of his to become poor, to become worthless, to become unclean before him, forcing them to him for everything, showing them this just but merciful Savior, one who has all power that he can just touch me and say, be thou clean. This Savior who purposed to do this for those who are his, coming down, condescending to be made flesh. We are talking about an infinitely holy God, perfect in every way, who is light and life. This one was made flesh. He knows what it is like to be flesh, just like you and I are. But he was not weak in the flesh as we are, because he is also God at the same time. Not two different natures. He is God, manifest in the flesh. He who was touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what you go through, because he has been there. But thank God we do not know what he has went through, being made a curse and sin for us, being forsaken of God. What does Scripture tell us of what Christ did? Hebrews 9:12 says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. But through this, that is the sacrifice of himself, he has obtained." The word "obtained" there in Hebrews 9:12 means to find, or that is to see. Jesus Christ, being God, sees eternally. It says what he found was redemption, or that is salvation, but it also adds eternal. And the word there means perpetual. That is it. It never stops. He has found, he has obtained perpetual salvation for us by what he did. Perpetual salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God sees us redeemed, or that is bought and brought back to himself. How clean do you think we are then? As clean as God is in Christ because of what he has done. My hope is that there are some who are hearing my voice, that God in his mercy has brought to that place of letting them know they are unclean, undone before this thrice holy, just God. I pray he opens your understanding so that you might see the Christ who can make you clean. Are you unclean? There is but one man that can cleanse you. That man is Jesus Christ the Lord. If he wills to do so, he can make you clean. Now, just a reminder, at 12 noon, you can tune in to WVVACW and see a portion of one of our Sunday morning messages. Or come be with us at 135 Annabelle Lane here in Beaver, West Virginia, just a little bit past Little Beaver State Park. Our services begin at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Come hear Jesus Christ and him crucified proclaimed.